shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure,
at least in his mind,
Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.
Yeah. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday night to you. Hope your week's been well. It's been fun. Hope you aren't stuck in the snow and ice and rain like we are here in the Northeast. Maybe you're out west. Maybe you're in the middle of the country. Who knows? But it's 10 p.m. here on the East Coast. So that means on a Thursday night, it's Plum Love Foods Live time. We've got a great show tonight. We're super excited. We're talking to David Falkowski from Open Minded Organics. We're going to talk about mushrooms. We're going to talk about farming. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking all about CBD oil tonight from an expert. I got a lot of questions. A lot of questions. You know, in a good way. Because I need to have a better understanding, and I'm hoping that then my understanding will help everyone else get a little bit more of an understanding of what Dave does and what CBD oil is actually as well. But the time is, everybody knows what that means. It's my friend and your friend, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Forking Chef, a.k.a. Jeffy. What's up, Jeffy? I'm just still getting used to you being the Magnum P.I. music. Uh-oh. Well, I think I'm losing you a little bit there, brother. Not totally sure. That was a little strange. But anyway, Jeff, you got the music from... Well, you got your Magnum PI music, which is a lot of fun. Always love having you have that music. But either way, it's all about tonight and CBD oil and with our good friend Chef. I'm not Chef. I'm so used to saying Chef, but with Dave from Open Minded Organics. It's gonna be a lot of fun talking to him tonight.
Absolutely, I'm super excited. I've known for a long time, and I love the guy. He's a good brother, and he's really knowledgeable about a lot of things, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, and that's what's important, I think, when you bring people like this into your fold, because so many people have opinions, you know what I mean? They want to come in and tell you all about something that they just don't know enough about, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. There's a lot of false information being spread about things, and David's one of those people that he's a real truth warrior. He's really out there, just spreading the good word.
And we're going to bring David in here shortly to talk a little bit about that. But there's been a little drama on the Instagrams this week having to do with some people stealing some pictures. And it seems like our friend, the one and only Grill Mama, has been the warrior when it comes to defending these people and comes to shutting these accounts down and whatnot. Because they make money from it, Jeffy. That's the problem. They're stealing people's content and making money from it. And some other people, you know, i.e. our friend Grill Mama, has spent a lot of time building her account, getting an Instagram following of, you know, tens and tens of thousands. And people steal their pictures and then post them and make money from it. So I thought it'd be fun to bring our friend Grill Mama on here for a minute and get a little bit of an opinion about that and let her kind of speak her mind. Because I know she's a great typer when it comes to typing, but sometimes having a voice behind it makes it easier. So Grill Mama, hi.
Hey guys, I'm a great typer. You're funny.
You're a fantastic typer.
You're a fantastic typer. Damn right. There's nothing you do better.
Well, that's too easy. Listen, what's going on? You were on the defense, boy. Or actually, you were on the offense this week on the Instagram. Tell me this quick story.
What went down yesterday is one of my really good friends on Instagram. He's also somebody who's often a voice to people. There's a lot of people on Instagram that create accounts based off of other people's content. And like you said before, why that angers people like myself is, you know, I worked really hard over the last couple of years to build up an authentic following, never using shady tactics, never using other people's pictures, you know, cooking all this food, taking all the pics myself, not using automated services or reposting other people's pictures. And one of my friends sends me a text yesterday morning and said, you know, check out this guy's account. Like, he's completely taking people's pictures and not only not crediting for the pictures, but claiming them as his own. So people would say, wow, like, great cook, like, that's a, you know, nice chicken. He's like, yeah, thank you, you know, and acting as if he actually cooked all this food. Yeah. So my friend recognized that one of the pictures was another girl he follows. So then he starts looking into it. He's like, oh my God, this guy's whole account is just other people's stuff, and he hasn't credited a single one. And that's bad enough, but he had all these posts about honesty and how he like, he's such a noble person and all of these things. So when you looked at that, you're like, you're the biggest hypocrite in the world, you know? So wow. It really struck a nerve, because I've been the victim of that so many times. I didn't even personally know the people, like all these people that he took these pictures from, but I felt I need to defend them only because I have been there so many times. And he didn't have any of my pictures. But yeah, I kind of went on the, well, I should say I let my followers do a lot of the tacking. I showed the proof, and my friend actually had an image where the first picture he saw, he took the picture, he like rotated it, cropped it, darkened it to try to make it look like it wasn't, you know, a picture he stole.
Is that dinging? Is that you?
Is there someone building furniture, or is there a blacksmith hard at work behind you?
It's got to be. Like, are you hammering out a sword?
Are you an armorer?
What are you? Is it like you building chainmail armor in the background for your next clothing photo?
It's my parrot ringing his bells. I'll go into the other room.
I was texting Jeff.
Bells?
I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "Dude, it's not me." I was like, what is that?
I'm currently going upstairs.
Oh, my God.
He didn't start talking in the background like he usually does.
I'd like to put an order in for a broadsword. Jeffy, what do you need?
What? I mean, if you're doing chainmail, I have a double XL. I need a double XL ring mail. Nice. With the hood.
Good choice. Good choice on the ring mail.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen,
So wait, Girl Mama, tell everybody, why is it bad? Like, what is bad about why people taking these photos? I know it sounds silly for me to say that, but some people don't understand.
So a lot of people don't understand. That's why I got a lot of messages about this yesterday. There are people on Instagram that just want to cook, share with their friends, and post pictures, and that's it. But over the last couple of years, Instagram's taken a big change, and for most and a lot of people out there, they want to make money off of it. Well, how do you make money on Instagram? The more followers you have, the more companies approach you, pay you to do sponsored content or give you a free product or whatever it may be. So, you know, a lot of these big repost accounts that you see that are hundreds of thousands of followers, these guys, some of them are the cockiest people I've ever met. They brag about how they make over six figures. It's all based off of other people's stuff. And some companies don't care. They just see that somebody has a big following and, you know, they pay them a ton of money to advertise their stuff on their page. And it's becoming the norm anymore. So you have, you know, people that there's this one guy, and I'm not naming names here.
Why not?
I'm not even going there. But this one guy, and he has like, you know, 500,000 followers, and his whole account is from reposting people's stuff.
But reposting isn't there, though. Bad, so long as you're
crediting. Well, no, here's what, there's a couple different levels here, right? So when you're on Instagram and you're just flipping through the people you follow, you only see the first couple lines of a caption. People who I'm friends with, I read their captions. That's not the norm for people and people that follow people on Instagram, because it really started as like a picture platform and then kind of really going over to video. But most people, they see that first couple of lines before the rest of the caption gets buried, and they just either, you know, double tap on it to like it and they move on. Or if it's somebody you're close to, they might read the caption. So it happens. And what this ringleader, if you will, of the, I call them repost tours, but don't get me started. He actually charges people like $1,000 to take his class, to teach other people how to repost pictures.
Oh my God.
And to bury the content way down, like, you know, 30, 40 lines down at the bottom.
How do I take that class?
How much does the class cost?
Yeah, it's like $1,000 to take for him to teach people how to take other people's pictures. And when somebody I know that had took the class, not knowing better, because he would market it as, you know, class to learn how to grow your Instagram following and everything, and it was just a repost class.
Wow.
He's like, and they actually said that, well, don't you ask the people for permission to use their pictures, because this is copyright. You post something on it, that is copyrighted content. I take a picture, I spend my money, do the hard work to create that content. I own the copyright to that. So this guy, they laughed at that. They laughed at the idea that somebody would ask permission to the person who created the content to repost it.
Wow.
And that is just obnoxious to me.
So what should people do? So if you see an account like that, that's happening, what do you do? Do you report it? How do you? I mean, obviously, I saw what happened with you guys. You attacked it. That guy blocked me too, by the way.
if you are, first of all, if you're the victim of somebody taking your content and you don't approve of that, there is a report that you can do on Instagram for copyright infringement. And usually that day, so you send a link to their picture that, you know, they took of yours and to your original picture. And usually it comes down anywhere from like 12 to 24 hours. But here's the problem with that. Say this guy who has 500,000 followers takes my picture. It might get 10,000 likes on his page. By the time Instagram takes it down, he's already sucked all of that value out of my content.
Yeah.
Because it drove more people to his page. He gets more followers. And there's maybe a tiny little fraction of those people who liked that picture actually opened up that caption and saw all the way down under all this garbage he wrote that it was my picture. And
well,
then
I reported it for child porn. That's what I did.
To make it worse, then you get repost accounts that repost off of other repost accounts and give that person credit. So then me, as the original content creator, my name is nowhere on that picture. Wow. I have friends that have companies steal their pictures to advertise. They're selling lobster. She takes, you know, like beautiful pictures of, you know, shellfish and steaks and everything. And they will use, she has had people go, because certain people have a certain style on Instagram and you kind of recognize their pictures and pointed out, hey, this company is selling products using your pictures, claiming that that's their food.
Wow.
You know, and they took those. I had somebody send me a message one. She's like, Melissa, she goes, is this a picture of your brisket? And I'm like, wait, I'm like, let me look at that. And some person, she goes, I'm pretty sure I recognize your brisket anywhere. But like I said, people, isn't that funny though, right? Like people have a style. And sure enough, this guy cropped my picture and it was exactly it. And this was like a company selling stuff.
Wow.
So
I mean,
anyway,
I just feel a little dirty when someone says that they recognize my brisket. I would know your brisket anywhere. I would then be like, this must be an ex-girlfriend or something. No, listen.
So anyway, that's my story. But
I think people
arrived.
Yeah, Jeff's excited. Jeff wants someone to steal his shit. He was like, dude, really? Hey, listen.
I just once. I mean, I don't want it to go as bad as your shit. But.
You have a show to do, darling, but you know we can always chat whenever you want.
Well, listen, I think it's something people should really watch out for. It's going to become more and more of a problem, I think, as Instagram continues to grow in popularity, especially in the food business. So if you see that, report it. You know, let somebody know. Or just send a DM to Grill Mama and tell her, because she'll go fucking ape shit on somebody.
If I'm in the right mood, I sure will.
That's right. For those of you who don't already, make sure you follow Grill Mama on Instagram. It's a great account, at Grill Mama. She's always playing with meat.
That's right.
You're the man, Grill Mama. You know we love you.
You the man, too.
I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Good
lady.
Have a good night, guys.
We'll
Bye.
See you.
Stay classy.
I'll try. Bye.
Stay classy. Just make sure you can recognize her brisket, right?
Yeah, I love a brisket.
There it is. Well, that's interesting, man, because I'm seeing a lot more and more of that happen, Jeff. Are you seeing it, too? Like, have you noticed any of that or any stolen pictures or pictures that, you know, don't belong to somebody get posted?
Honestly, no. I'm just not that popular, and
no.
None of my friends are. I mean, I've never seen any of your stuff stolen. No one steals my stuff.
No, I've never had
I've seen other people. Stolen. I've seen other people that I follow say, like, oh, this dude stole my shit. And I'll go on and, like, you know, unfollow that person who stole
actually,
their shit.
You know, there
I think
was
it's
a,
whack.
There was a fake Chef Plum account that was posting my pictures, like, last year.
That's amazing.
And we got it shut down.
Like,
yeah.
you have a stalker somewhere. Oh. I think that's so. I want to meet one. I want to be like, hey, anyone out there, I am president of the Plum Fan Club. You can email me at jperazzi@gmail.com or Jeff at plumlovefoods.com. We can do meet and greets. I'm Plum's available for private cooking lessons. And, breakfast in bed if the money's right.
That's right.
So get at me.
Speaking of money, we got to pay some bills here, play a commercial, man. But we come back. We're going to have our buddy Big Dave on from Open Minded Organics. We're going to talk all about farming, farm life, and, of course, CBD oil. So that should be a lot of fun. Stay right there. Jeff and I will be right back with Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back. Stay there, guys.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step for...
It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, 3 blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A sizzle plate product.
It might help if I turn the mic on there, huh? I'm a jackass. Coming back live. Plum Love Foods Live. I'm just talking away, and I forgot I had the mic off.
I was going to start freestyling. I thought you were laying a beat down for me. I was ready.
Hoping you were going to.
I was like, oh, shit. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Coming back live right here.
On my arms. I'm always ready. And what?
There you go. Sorry. Coming back live. Plum Love Foods Live, man. We got a great show tonight. Jeff, I feel like we've already done a whole bunch of work tonight, man. Just a lot of talking already. But... we got a great show for you here. We got our buddy Big Dave from Open Minded Organics coming in. Jeff, tell us a little bit about Open Minded Organics, man, because you've been dealing with them for a long time.
Yeah, man. Dave and me have been friends for about 16, 17 years. He's been I met him coming to the back door of the restaurant selling mushrooms, the restaurant kind. He was honestly the first mushroom farmer I ever met, and he was the first mushroom farmer on Long Island, as far as my knowledge, doing all organic mushrooms, blue oyster, yellow oyster. There was a short period of time where he did pink, then he did shiitake, lion's mane, maitake, all
amazing
organic
mushrooms.
Amazing mushrooms, super fresh. I mean,
yeah.
If you've never had a mushroom that's been grown and picked and cooked that day, I mean, you're really missing out, because they lose so much of their water weight and their structure. Everything just kind of changes on it after even 3 days. So I think, I mean, they're still delicious, don't get me wrong, but I mean... So, I mean, he's done that, and he's done – he does a lot of other farming, and then in the last year or so, he's become the CBD king. I mean, he's out there really spreading the truth and the knowledge about it, and really helping people out. Just you know, just having it available, and people have been, I mean, there's been some pretty miraculous, you know, stories I've heard personally. So
we're going to get into all that with him a little bit here, too. So we're excited to have him on. He's a fantastic farmer. He grows amazing mushrooms. He grows amazing produce. He's an even better human being. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program Dave Falkowski from Open Minded Organics. Dave, good evening, brother. How are you, man?
Hey, Chef and Chef. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, man. I've been excited to talk to you for a while, man. I think I appreciate you taking the time. I realize this is not really farmer hours. I get it.
Yeah, this is definitely after hours. A little Bordeaux and caffeine help remedy the situation.
That's all you need. So what kind of are you a heavy coffee guy because you get up so early, or are you pretty wide awake in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, a quick recap. I mean, my morning starts at about 4:30, a little bit of a computer catch-up, media, email time. Daughter comes downstairs at about 5:30. We get a little cuddle time. By 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm down the street to the coffee shop for a little bit. You know, talk local shop, get on with the day right after that. So,
hey, how important is the local aspect to you, man? Because I've been out to the farm several times last summer. Just in my own for work for myself to come get some great produce from you. But I know you care pretty deeply about the whole local aspect when it comes to food.
Yeah, sure. You know, especially being here on Eastern Long Island, we're pretty isolated and insulated in a way. It's a highly seasonal community, so we really do need to rely on each other, whether it's people who here are seasonally or amongst the people who are here around year-round. You know, we're a small company, and I mean, if it's not local, I just don't know what it is, because I wouldn't be able to survive.
Nice. I wish more people had that mentality, man. I know that I think like that. Jeffy, I know you do too. You try to buy local as much as possible.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I love supporting the local economy. I think it's important.
Even, you know, like when I first met, you know, Chef Jeff knocking on the back door, I think that was the Paradise Diner Cafe, whatever
Paradise
it was.
Paradise Cafe. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like no internet lead thing, some marketplace. I mean, I was literally beating the street. You know, and right. So I mean, right. You know, local just means, you know, your community, your town, personal relationships. You know, it's not just like a buzzword, you know.
For sure.
I think something really important to remember when you buy local, and I've seen this, and I know it sounds cliche at this point because I'm sure other people have, but you know, you're not putting money into a giant corporation, actually helping somebody put their kids in school. You know, you're paying for piano lessons, you're like really helping someone's family when you buy local. Something that was made locally,
you're getting better.
You know, you're actually helping those people. Yeah, but I mean, even beyond that, it's like, I mean, there's a social responsibility to buy locally. I think, I mean, sure. to keep your money in the community and to help people in the community. I mean, that's what the trickle down is all about. You know,
right, yeah. Right. Well, Dave, so I know that you've done. I mean, obviously, you grow amazing mushrooms. So we're going to get into hemp, of course, as well. But you also have a lot of other vegetables, of course, in season, man, that you have at the stand. Talk about some of those things and about how that day changes for you, you know, based on what season it is.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously over 15 years ago, we started with the mushrooms. Over a decade ago, we started to diversify the farm up to over 200 varieties of vegetables, flowers, and herbs. And to tie it into, like, that local thing, too, I mean, it's about kind of the fabric we weave in our community. So as I started to expand my business and diversify, I mean, there's no need for me to duplicate and kind of go head to head and compete with a lot of people. We really wanted to grow maybe more specialty, not for the point of being nosy air bourgeois, you know, specialty and high end, but to fill in the gaps. So we're really always, you know, moving around every year, kind of like what's new, what's different, what can we provide, but also kind of what other people aren't doing.
Right.
And, you know, so just to paint.
Last summer, you gave me half a cantaloupe. It was a yellow cantaloupe, and I was there. You just handed it to me. And you're like, dude, it's so good. Eat this. And you went running away. I got to give it to you. You're a big gentleman. You're a big gentleman.
You're lucky it was just half a cantaloupe.
Yeah, much like Jeff and myself. But, man, you're incredibly fast and agile. I couldn't get over it. I was like, whoa, look at that guy. But you handed us this cantaloupe, and it was just so delicious. And, like, it wasn't cold. Like, you pull it out of the refrigerator. Like, it was warm. Like, you just pulled it, and you took some for yourself and said, I got to share this. I mean, as a chef, when I make a delicious dish or something that's beautiful, like, I want people to taste it and see it. It's the same thing as a farmer. Like, when you cut that cantaloupe open, you're like, oh, my God, it's delicious. You got to let somebody else taste it.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are amazing opportunities we have. When we talk about words like fresh and local, I mean, we're really talking about the moment. So, like, as a farmer, I mean, like a cantaloupe, we can pick a cantaloupe at the moment of ripeness in the field or maybe in the barn where it's ripening and serve it or sell it. You know, you can't do that in a grocery store. So when we get outside of that per se local setting, you know, these opportunities, they just don't exist. You know, so that moment can't exist outside of a local setting, just to put things in context.
I mean, I think it's, that's what makes it so delicious, man, is that you have the opportunity to get something that fresh, that delicious, that, you know, at the peak of when it's there. So I trained with Sean Brock for a while, and Sean used to always beat into everyone's head about how important it is to, as chefs, to, you know, help represent the farmer that grew that you know, that tomato, that cucumber, mm-hmm. that cantaloupe, and for us to have the responsibility to serve it the best we can because they're trying to give us the best that they can. And I've always took that to heart as much as possible. I know that you work with a lot of chefs and private chefs and whatnot, man. And, you know, having that, I don't know, having as many chefs as you have that you work with want your product, it's got to be kind of almost like a, you know, make you feel good. Like kind of put yourself up on a little bit of a pedestal. I mean, shit, I work in Montauk and I drive to your stand to get stuff.
I mean, it feels really great. It justifies the hard work. I'm sure, as you guys know, it's you know, we have long hours, but there's a lot of pressure on you though, especially for the way, you know, we grow very naturally, you know, without a lot of, you know, all of the conventional pesticides, herbicides and fungicides. You know, some of our stuff is certified organic. Some of it isn't anything that isn't, I mean, we really supersede any requirements or statutes to be organic. And it's difficult always to just produce something that's quality all of the time. I mean, what you get that seems so perfect and mind-blowing, I mean, as a farmer, I have so many failures and things that fall short of being fantastic. And that's really where the letdown is that it's, you know, the personal critique and, you know, what nature allows is, you know, we want to be that perfection for you all the time, but we can't. And that's really where the big pressure is. You know, with ourselves.
If you want to find out more about Dave, you can go to @openmindedorganics on Instagram or www.openmindedorganics.com, or you can check him at Butter Lane out in Bridgehampton at his farm stand or his new Omo Apothecary in Sag Harbor.
Man, and that sounds yeah. I mean, that sounds amazing, and we're going to talk about that too. But I want to go over to the mushroom part of what you do before we move on to the hemp and stuff. But what made you switch over to start kind of focusing on mushrooms so much? What was the, like? Was that something you always wanted to do, or how did that happen?
I mean, years ago, I took my great walkabout in the world. You know, in my early 20s, I wound up taking a PDC, a permacultural design course, and I learned about, you know, just being able to observe nature, ways we can construct our lives and what supports us and the way we can enhance and kind of synergize the system. And mushrooms emerged as one of these things. And then again, in my mid-20s, I was able to attend some of the Stamets seminars. I mean, Paul Stamets is such an amazing gentleman, amongst many other things. I've literally had a dream where he's in my lifeboat when, you know, the magnetic polar shift occurs and we're swirling around and I look over and I'm like, is this happening? And he's like, yeah. And he was in my lifeboat. I had that dream. So, I mean, it's really kind of, you know, setting the stars for me in a way, you know.
Man, that's so interesting because it just, I like the lifeboat description, man. That's a, Jeff,
who would be the first guy? It's a real dream, man. You can't make that up.
Yeah. I mean, what about your, like, you have a daughter. Is she in a lifeboat too or no?
I mean, at that time, I was pretty much all alone with strangers, and it was just me and Paul.
I think our lifeboat changes nonstop, I hope, at least.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we started right here in the backyard of my house in Sag Harbor, literally in this old, like, retrofitted Navy steam jacket cauldron that my father used to cook, like, lobster and corn in for clam bakes and fundraisers for my now-defunct, elementary school, Tuller School here in Maycroft, just outside of Sag Harbor. And it was really funny. My neighbor at the time, one of the Scavone families, who was one of the matriarchs in the family. She was in her elder years in the 80s, and we put up a fence in the backyard at the time, and the only reason she was extremely annoyed that we put the fence up, like pissed off, was because she couldn't watch us make the mushrooms anymore.
Oh, no
I
way.
Mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's amazing. How many different varieties of mushrooms do you do?
Well, I don't do mushrooms anymore. I mean, the college days are pretty far behind me. We do grow a lot of different varieties. So last year we grew blue oyster. Come on, that's a joke, chef. We grew blue oyster, yellow oyster, Oryngia, or like the king oyster trumpets. We trialed a little bit of some maitake. We have a unique lion's mane variety, also known as like the pom-pom mushroom. That's got a pretty cool story.
It's delicious.
It's actually named after me, Hercium ernaceus variety Falkowskii, although I can't take all the credit. And actually years ago, a few years ago now, a buddy of mine, Steve Menino, is a very fierce and loyal friend. Maybe one of the worst employees I have, but he's a fierce and loyal friend. And the resident artist.
We love Steve.
Yeah, and he owns it. No, we're all great. But he gave me a call around this time. It was like, hey, there's this crazy mushroom growing on a tree in Hampton Bays. He sent me a photo. I was like, oh, collect it. And it was a lion's mane mushroom. And we cloned it. And it's basically since been commercialized here on my farm and in the Northeast. And aptly named Hercium ernaceus falkowskii. So that's like truly like a local variety, like something that was birthed out of Long Island.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I mean, it's got your name in it. And by the way, the mushroom is delicious. Like I would take them last summer and just hard searing them. And I mean, they'd use them almost like an entree.
They're quite delicious. It's it's really delicious. It's a fun one to grow. Voracious. That's a fun one to grow. So, you know, that's the whole mushroom thing. That's like a fun thing. And then about 10 years ago, I met my now wife. You know, she suggested, hey, you know, let's try growing some different stuff on the farm, which was at the time a tree nursery. Sure, Jeff can testify to the work it took through the years to clear that and turn it into a functioning vegetable and food farm.
Hard work, lots of beers. Good times.
Yeah. Jeff was there. He was out there with the chainsaw cutting down just rough, old, overgrown nursery trees.
Wait, Dave.
Stuffing them in that chipper. I remember that was good, crazy times, man.
You gave After Jeff hours, a chainsaw? This was not virgin rainforest, yeah.
You and, let Jeff use a chainsaw? That's a terrible idea.
that's a little, yeah.
I would have given him a
Maybe
hatchet.
Just in the truck
like,
drive.
Yeah, here's a hatchet. Cut down this tree. And then, like, now you know Jeff's good for the day. Like, that's good.
Dave doesn't share the chainsaw. He ran the chainsaw. I got the stuffed trees.
He got to drag the branches to the chipper.
To the chipper, which is also equally as fun, equally as satisfying.
Yeah. Well, talk about the process really quick of the mushrooms, man. Like how quick do they go from, you know, until you can actually pull them and sell them? Like how long is that process?
Sure. So I mean, it's there's layers here. That we kind of set into place early in the season, and then we kind of undo some of the layers and the processes later in the season because we do shut down seasonally. Many mushroom farmers are like marvel at how do you not run year round? Hey, we're in a highly seasonal community, and it's actually very nice to stop for a while, reset. So in the spring, we're actually just getting started around now with some culture work in the laboratory. It could take a couple weeks to get cultures awake and going, and then we create things called spawn. So we take this white, webby stuff called mycelium. You'll see it in soil or under leaves, and we expand that on, say, different rye or millet grains. And once they're fully colonized, all white and fuzzy, that's called spawn. So once we wake everything up and get some of the stuff going around March or April, we'll start in our mushroom house where we'll pasteurize straw, say for oyster mushrooms, and we'll inoculate with some of the spawn. That's usually about 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the varieties, before they begin to emerge out of these bags we grow. So it'll be the end of April, the middle of May, when we begin to harvest. And then we'll be making these columns all the way through, say, September. And then we start kind of undoing some of these different layers and processes of spawn production and bag production as we kind of wrap up everything around in November for the year.
Yeah. So it's kind of – it's a little break in between, but pretty much you'll start now, but you'll have enough to get through like the entire season.
Yeah, you know, because again, so when we create like this spawn, which is in essence kind of like a seed or an inoculum, it takes 1 to 2 months to grow mushrooms, you know, from that stage moving forward. So at a certain point in the season, we can knock that off the schedule since we are seasonal. Now, this is very uncommon for many mushroom farms who basically, I mean, most cultivators, they run year round and they just highly specialize in mushrooms, you know. And so we're a little bit different there. Yeah. Well, we're very different there.
Nice. If you want to learn more about Dave, you can check him at Open Minded Organics on Instagram or Open Minded Organics on Facebook. Or you can go check them at the farm, Butter Lane, Bridgehampton, New York, at Open Minded Organics.
There you go. So, Dave, we got to get to talking CBD oil with you and hemp and whatnot. Yeah. I got to tell you, I recently, as of a day ago, I got gifted to myself. It's a Lord something.
Lord Jones.
I can't remember what it is. They're pretty expensive. It was some gummies that was given to me. They're 20 milligrams of CBD oil per jelly. I've taken one a day. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know how many I should or how that works. However, I can tell you that some of my, you know, aches in my back, things in my foot and my ankle seem to be a little bit dulled. And I drove in a crazy ice storm last night and didn't really seem to worry too much about it, which is kind of weird. So I don't know. I'm trying to learn, man. I mean, listen, it's definitely a new world for people, but, you know, shed some light for me.
Sure. These are all some very typical experiences that people experience. Likely, you probably took a product called Lord Jones.
Yeah,
it's got a beautiful brand and product. So right out of the bat, I mean, CBD stands for cannabidiol, right? So cannabidiol is one of the many cannabinoids that are found in cannabis. And somebody, everybody all right over there? So most notably, you know, in the last decades, just making sure, Mr. Ed showing up for a surprise guest appearance.
What was that?
I thought it was you guys. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Traditional American fare tonight, not Mexican. So cannabidiol. So THC has really kind of had the spotlight for the last few decades, right? It's all been about the quote unquote intoxicating compound, you know, the effects of marijuana, say. It's really been in the last handful of years, you know, especially say when the Stanley Brothers, you know, discovered this whole Charlotte's Web variety, and then this whole spotlight came out about, you know, the it was almost validating the therapeutic and medicinal effects of marijuana and cannabis. And then as it turns out, the 2014 Farm Bill allowed states and institutions of higher education to grow hemp for research purposes. And under this program, cultivators and commercial cultivators were actually able to grow hemp high in CBD, cannabidiol, and really start to bring these to mass market, this whole crazy phenomenon.
But just to clarify, so people who don't know, I mean, there's no THC in it. There's no high effect. Like, you don't it's not like you're, you know, vaping it or smoking a joint or anything like that. It's there's no, you know, high really from it. It's not something you...
Well, So this here is this gray area, and a lot of misinformation circulates around this. So CBD, cannabidiol itself, is, you know, it's this molecule, and it's this specific component of cannabis. It's also they said they've been able to find it potentially in other things like hops, which are related to cannabis.
Right.
But here's the one problem. Everybody's talking about CBD, but nobody's really defined what the products are. So the Lord Jones product that you consumed likely was a CBD isolate product. So don't get me wrong, to my understanding, I'm not very familiar with their product line. They may have some quote-unquote full-spectrum products, but they're likely known for their isolate products. So it's just cannabidiol, likely hemp-derived, right? So it's a quote-unquote farm bill compliant. We all hear about this. And that's it. It's then in a gummy or some oil or a chocolate, whatever it is. But that's really not what CBD is and like what brings the most potent effect. So really what CBD is a component in hemp extract. As it turns out from my experience, the most profound effects we have seen is CBD in a full spectrum extract, which basically we could say is a hemp extract, because there's all these other cannabinoids, including THC and secondary cannabinoids like CBN, CBG, all these things we're hearing about. And then we start to, you know, there's terpenes, things we taste and we smell. And that's besides the intoxicating, relaxing properties, That's the muse for the chefs here.
Right.
You know, how to incorporate these aroma and flavors into meals. And now the range of effects one can experience from just CBD and isolate to a quote unquote CBD oil or product that's truly full spectrum that actually contains a wide variety of other products, the experiences are very different. Unfortunately, right now, it's difficult to navigate, even for somebody like myself, to read labels and find out what's going on. There is no official authority that has defined what is full spectrum, broad spectrum, distillate, even isolate, all of this stuff. It's very confusing, and the effects that one experiences can range wildly.
Right.
And very right. different.
It's interesting because you look at those things and there's not, I don't know, if my understanding is correct, like it's tough for them to start labeling things like shampoo as to how many milligrams of this oil is in them, because then doesn't it get qualified as medicine or something like that? Or am I saying this wrong?
Well, it's not that you're saying anything wrong. What you're doing, you're bringing up a very important talking point. So like what actually is an appropriate product to contain CBD or a hemp extract? As it turns out, New York State, for those of us who have achieved a license to process CBD, they are preemptively, and I'll explain preemptive in a minute, to manufacture CBD products for human consumption under the guidelines, GMP guidelines as put forth by the FDA for dietary supplements.
Right.
There are statements put out by the FDA that says, you know, CBD and THC are ingredients in an FDA-approved drug, Epidiolex, and cannot be put into food and or dietary supplements. So it's an interesting position, right? You know, New York State's telling us to do one thing, the feds are saying you can't. Obviously, some things are going to give and change down the road, but when we get into appropriateness, I mean, you mentioned the word medicinal. The state is mentioning words like dietary supplements. And really, you know, these profound things people are experiencing really need to be treated with respect. So, I mean, really, the therapeutic properties of CBD, are they best achieved when you use it as a soap or a shampoo or some other product? Or are they best achieved when you have a hemp extract that you can tritate out of a dropper or in a bath bomb where you're administering a certain amount for a certain purpose?
Right.
And these are big philosophical questions that are being sorted out right now.
I mean, it's got to be a way to measure that, right?
This all depends on how people package their products. So when we manufacture and then ultimately package and label products for dietary supplementation, servings and quote on dosing, but I think the language we have to use is servings, is standardized and is clear. You know, we want to know how many milligrams of vitamin C are we consuming. You know, in a multivitamin, it breaks it down into how many different compounds and nutrients are in there. So we really need to start looking at this more as a dietary supplement and taking this serious. You know, we're seeing products all over the market. Many of them, there's no convenient way to know, excuse my language, what the hell is in it to even begin with.
Language. What the fuck?
I could use the F-bomb there. I could have used Falkowski.
Holy shit. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, there's a big difference. I mean, I think some people are confused. Sorry, I wasn't talking about Mike. Some people are confused. Yeah. They hear CBD oil and they think marijuana right off the top. Like, that's what they're all about. I mean, doctors like Alex Berenson, he put a book out, you know, with making claims that marijuana and CBD are linked to schizophrenia, and none of it's completely true. But you hear doctors and people say this because there hasn't been enough studies done on it. You, as a person who does this for a living, and you recognize the positives of it. When you hear people, I don't know if you've ever heard the clip, but if you hear someone like who's a doctor who says this, who has a following, like it's got to be kind of disheartening.
You know, what it really comes down to is this plant, cannabis sativa, right, has been under the oppression of prohibition for decades. And interestingly enough, we see like some stuff in history, but it's, to me, it seems like a little bit of a conspiracy, like during this time of Prohibition, that a lot of stuff has been expunged. How can this plant that there's no argument, it's been around for thousands of years and so have humans. There's no arguing how profound some of these therapeutic and even just recreational experiences are. Like this just doesn't happen overnight with some brand new thing. We've been doing this for a long time, Lady Cannabis and humanity. In my work so far with the plant, and so we're going to use words like anecdotal because we don't have scientific research and studies really to back up a lot of these claims. So this is an interesting thing because a lot of people say, you know, this is the difficulty in making claims and stuff. But I mean, the nature of science itself is that its conclusions are not like the finite and ultimate answer. You know, any good scientist is going to say, challenge my theory and conclusive results.
Of course.
And so it's really funny. They're using that to debunk our anecdotal results, which are really, in fact, somebody's true experience. So in my anecdotal, my little disclaimer there, right? So in my anecdotal research here, right, not scientifically proven or vetted, generally speaking, we see people who consume high amounts of THC, that's when intoxicating compound. We're not even going to use the psychoactive because CBD is psychoactive, right? It elicits certain responses. Anyway, that THC can induce anxiety. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of people coming to me and saying, hey, man, you know, like, and I know they're potheads, you know, some of them chefs. They're like, hey, you know, like Dave, like
you can teach me, Dave. I come in.
and it's really crazy too, you know, when people just drop everything and you're just looking at each other eye to eye, soul to soul, and they're coming to you for help and saying, you know, like I'm just experiencing crushing anxiety. And I'm saying, look, let's flip the ratio. So instead of you consuming a cannabis product that's, say, 30 parts THC to one part CBD, you know, along the lines of like a traditional, you know, marijuana product, whether it's a vape pen or a flower or whatever it is, mm-hmm. let's just flip it. So where now you're consuming basically the opposite, the high amount of CBD and a very small amount of THC. We'll get into that entourage effect in a moment. I told you, we're going to run late tonight, guys. I'm just giving you a warning now. I got to warn my wife sometimes. I've been drinking Bordeaux.
Uh-oh.
So the THC can actually kind of induce anxiety, and there are certain studies and anecdotal feedback that suggest that's kind of what elicits some more of that, you know, those mental illnesses and problems. And that CBD can actually kind of curb some of that anxiety and quell and calm the mind.
I mean, well, there's been cases where people who, you know, people who have Tourette's or, you know, who have stuttering issues, they get CBD oil and they just kind of magically go away, you know. And also based on, you know, what you were saying, the, you know, the definition it was, what makes it psychoactive and what doesn't. I mean, if that's the definition of psychoactive, wouldn't Pepsi Cola be psychoactive then? Because if you drink, you know, a bunch of that, your shit's, you know, sugar high or whatever they call it, you know?
Correct. I mean, you're right on it, Chef. So when we use these terms, non-psychoactive and stuff, all of this stuff, these are marketing claims because it is changing stuff in us. You know, it is changing the way our mind works. So like a quick one to compartmentalize, break things down a little. We have a good friend, Dori Ellich. She's a huge proponent for open-minded organics. She has been diagnosed with Tourette's and, you know, it's co-diagnoses. She uses our product, loves them, speaks out for us. Now, it has not cured and taken away everything she needs to do to do what it is to meet her baseline. But taking a full-spectrum CBD product has taken away her tick, which is considered one of the more traditional ticks. Now, did it take away, you know, Tourette's and all of its co-diagnoses? No. But did it help as an adjunct therapy to bring a higher quality of life? Yes.
Wow,
now,
that's
here's an interesting thing.
How much
do
you figure out to give her? Like, how does that come to on you? Like, okay, you should take 15 milligrams, 10 milligrams. Because, you know, it's one of the things we found out with, like, the food pyramid here now. It's kind of one of the things in the news when it comes to food is that, I mean, it's not really the same for everybody. You know, I'm a different size person than my wife, no matter how you look at it. Like, I consume more calories than she's going to. You know, I'm on my feet all day long. She sits at a desk. It's a different situation where I'm sure as a pro football player is going to consume more calories than me. You know, is it the same thing when it comes to CBD and trying to figure out the right amount to give someone?
So here's an interesting thing. I just want to make one last statement as move into this one. Just unlike that whole mental health and benign thing, I've actually sat in the coffee shop in the morning, as I do, and asking people what aches and ails and drops them here and there. One person actually reported that the full spectrum CBD product, so like a 30-to-1 ratio, CBD to THC, they were hearing voices in their head. Now, this is not everybody, but I need to be responsible in reporting my findings, albeit how unscientific they are, but you know, I'm very objective. So there's no clear cut black and white either side of the line. Yes, this is a highly personalized experience. So now how do we figure out how to navigate this personal experience? The biggest thing and where I am, you know, my opinions are always changing, right? I mean, we all know about opinions, right? Everybody's got one. They're like assholes. Everybody's got one and they all stink, right? My current stance on this, am I allowed to say that on a publicly broadcast? Oh, careful. The
asshole.
So, like I was speaking to before, you know, like, I mean, we hear CBD oil, and I'm even trying to catch myself how I use words and explain this. But really, like, what I'm working with is a hemp extract, which is basically like a classic tincture that's concentrated, whereas some products are just isolate, are just cannabidiol. And these products are going to vary wildly in dosing and effects. So are you guys familiar at all with what we're going to call it, the theory of the entourage effect?
Let's
imagine here, right? You know, we've got our hands pretty narrowed together, pointing down at the ground in an angular motion. And we say, hey, here's CBD, cannabidiol. And here's its potential scope of effectiveness on certain situations and stuff. Matter of fact, these are scientifically proven, right? It's an improved ingredient in Epidiolex, right? An FDA-approved drug. But now let's look at the broader cannabis picture and the plant itself. Let's look at THC. So now we move one hand a little wider to the right. So we start this interplay with THC and CBD. Two things happen here. One, we start to widen the scope of effectiveness because now we have multiple compounds. But two, we start the basic interplay. And these are very crude examples I'm about to start using here. But most of us, I think, start to learn about the interplay of compounds and especially intoxicating compounds when those of us who grew up here on Eastern Long Island hanging out at the beach and, you know, one night you had a beer with Timmy and the other night you had a couple tokes with Tommy. And then one night with Elena, you had a little of both. And it was like, wow, there was synergy. And so the entourage effect is really the best way to look at that is to turn that word into synergy. And so as we add THC next to CBD and potentially these secondary cannabinoids and then the terpenes, the things we taste and smell, we not only widen the scope of effectiveness and perceived effects, but we potentiate them. So all of a sudden, say we have the three ingredients, grossly put, THC, CBD, and terpenes abstract, we have a perceived value of three, the sum. The entourage effect, that theory states that there's a synergy and we have a perceived value of, say, 10 or more than just the sum alone. So if we understand this concept of the entourage effect and that quote-unquote CBD products range from isolates to different compounds, distillates, and full spectrum, they're not all created equal. And much like marijuana, you know, we have indicas and sativas, and so these variations can exist in these products. So that being said, sorry for being long-winded, but the best way to navigate CBD is to really go to somebody who you have faith in, whether it's a retailer, hey, somebody like us in Open-Minded Organics, that can help you navigate and work with their product, because dosing and experience is going to be different from product to product. Especially as the basic CBD to THC ratios change, and even advice of – so somebody who smokes marijuana, right, they're going to have a different effect using an isolate product because they're going to have THC in their bloodstream than somebody who doesn't use any cannabis at all and has no THC and is just consuming CBD, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, so it's kind of like the whole rice and beans thing, right? So if you eat rice and beans within a two-hour window, our body, through a miracle, can fold a complete protein. But you can't have rice in the morning and beans in the afternoon. It's a completely different experience.
That's interesting. And I'm going to tell you right now, if myself or Jeff are hanging out with Tommy and Timmy and Elena at the beach, we're not doing math. That's not happening. There's no fucking way.
I didn't talk about math, did I?
you got a lot of math in there. But it is interesting to see, man. And Jeff, you've had a little experience with this stuff, right?
Yeah, I am an avid THC user. So my experience with CBD is always it's really interesting because it's so different to what I'm used to when I ingest any kind of marijuana. Usually when I do marijuana, I like, it doesn't give me anxiety, it helps me relax, and it kind of, you know, keeps me probably from overthinking everything in my life. when I do CBD, I get like an interesting energy kind of kick from it, and but at the same time, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like caged heat. It's like relaxed energy. You know, like I'm like
caged
heat. I'm like,
I know, right?
That I'm like up. I'm like up, but I can, like, my muscles are like not tense. Like, I don't feel tense.
And
but I have
schools out
energy
with Chef Jeffy.
Yeah, all right.
No, but it's amazing. I think it's here are the different effects of it, but I think it's more important is seeing the how it helps people. Dave, talk about some of the things you've seen personally, how it's helped people and with some of their issues and different types of issues they've had.
Sure. So, I mean, generally speaking, people just don't get their expectations up. One thing that we generally see across the board, general help with, just when we talk about anxiety control, just your shoulders drop, your face softens. Many people report that the choo-choo train around the Christmas tree in their head just kind of slows down. And this translates into potentially the effects. So when people say it helps with their sleep, because all of a sudden if your shoulders drop and your mind slows down, you're at ease and able to sleep better. An interesting thing on that, I don't know how many, you know, if you guys ever really thought about this, but you know, smoking a little bit of pot, you know, high THC marijuana at night can really help kind of put you down, like sedate you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, from my personal experience and many people's experience, you don't enter that deep REM sleep in like dream state. And when I consume, you know, higher CBD ratio products, like invert that ratio, like I was saying, you know, 30-1 and the 1-30, I'm still able to dream. So it relaxes me. It doesn't sedate me and put me down. It's just that in a different way, it like relaxes me.
But now, I want to point out there too, yeah. Dave, I want to point out there, people just who don't know, is that like you're not much of a marijuana guy. Like you're definitely more of a CBD. You don't. It's not like you're smoking a joint or, I mean, it's just never been you, right?
I had a blast in my youth. You know what it is, though, now as a businessman and people who rely on me to be clear, sharp, make decisions beyond. If I smoke a little bit of pot, man, I mean, I just drop all the balls.
Right.
I just, like, it's a great way to, like, unplug, but I just don't have time to unplug right now. I mean, here we are, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm talking to two of the most amazing chefs I know. Like, I can't unplug right now. Everybody's a little different. Now, I've seen, I'm going to speak in, like, disclaimer, you know, like, I can't say this will happen, but I've seen some stuff that's seriously, like, praise Jesus. Like, this is a revelation and nothing shy of a miracle. With a little old lady with spinal stenosis comes walking in a walker, as skeptical as it gets at a food event, and I give her some oil to rub on her lower back, and 20 minutes later comes scooting by with a smile on her face, both legs bending and moving. And she's like basically pulling her pants down and asking me to rub her down with more. I'm like, wow. Yo, look, I'm married. I've seen, again,
benefits of
people
work.
With yeah, dude, that's why I wear my writing one, make sure all the time, like, I, you know, tap it on the table, like, look, you know, I'm not allowed to rub you down, you know, my wife's not here, that's the rule, she's got to watch, you know, that's, yeah. And, you know, that, like, softens the moment, at least,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
The but like neuropathies, if it does work for a neuropathy, it's definitely worth trying. And when it does work, the look on somebody's face when burning and tingling disappear, like when your skin is just screaming and you feel like you have somebody rolling a roller with thumbtacks over your thigh because your nerves are just miscommunicating and misfiring and it stops for a little while. That look on their face, literally, I had a woman this summer at the Sag Harbor Farmers Market. Within minutes, you know, she's like looking at her hands and she said, you know, like, it's virtually my neuropathy burning and tingling stopped in one hand is significantly diminished, but not all the way like it is in the other one. In the other hand, and 10 minutes later, she like literally like leaned in and she's like, David, and she said, and I mean, I swell up every time I think about this emotionally. She said, you know, Dave, like, I can't thank you enough. I feel like I've just been touched by the hand of God.
Wow.
And there was like three or four of us in that huddle, and we were all just like,
yeah.
You know, our hearts just blown open emotionally. I've seen miracles, but I've also seen a lot of people with these severe conditions, and it didn't help. The majority of the time, this anxiety and anti-inflammatory property with a high level of likelihood with a full spectrum product like we work with here at Open Minded Organics, we see, and I can at least just say it's worth trying. You know, you just need to find a quality product and somebody you trust. And so that being said, you know, to tie into your dosing, generally speaking, a 15 milligram serving of our full spectrum product, right? It's close about a 27 to a 30 to 1 ratio, orally or topically, twice a day. I mean, people generally see some great effects. I mean, myself personally, I'm under the oversight of an orthopedic oncologist for my hip. I have a very complicated situation. I used to be 6 foot. I'm 5'11". I've got degenerated discs. My right knee, I've had arthroscopic surgery at 16. My left knee at like 21. If I bend it 90 degrees, now imagine it bending 180 degrees the other direction because I fell out of a piece of equipment.
Jesus.
I'm the son of a home builder. I'm a farmer. I've been lifting heavy stuff before I could even pronounce or spell it. And
talk about bending over again.
Which way? The 180 degrees or the 90 degrees backwards? I mean, Jeff. When I say we go way back, back in what?
Wow.
Whoa, you know, David. Hey, out of the bag. Come on.
So, Dave, let me ask you, man. I got a couple of questions from listeners I want to throw at you, too, that have been coming in. But
yeah, please hit me, man. I got all night for you guys, just so you know. We can go as long as you want.
I could talk to you all night. This is really great, and I can't wait to check out. Hey, can you get products on the website? Can we go to openmindedorganics.com and get products from you?
Yeah, so we're in the process of redoing a whole new site with fully compliant and transparent credit card processing. We're just completing a whole process with insurance. Just to let people know, this is very complicated. You know, this whole thing. You know, just because the farm bill passed, and we use this word, hemp is now legalized. It has not immediately simplified a lot of the challenges that, you know, that we experience.
I can imagine it makes it harder. Once you get the government involved, it seems like it would just make it even harder.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of gets that whole DEA thing out of the way, moving seeds around and all of this other stuff. But right. Basically, right. The FDA is looking all pretty in their varsity sweater with a clipboard of compliance saying, guys, welcome. We've been waiting for decades. And so there are levels of compliance that some of us are expecting, and many of us, especially just laymen who are on the outside, you know, the observers, there's going to be, you know, some crazy stuff coming down the pipeline.
Well, it's interesting to me because I knew we were having you on tonight, and I wanted to experience it myself. I've never done or taken any CBD products, and I just realized that I had happened to have one in the house, so I wanted to take it. You know, I wanted to use it a couple of days before I had you on just to kind of get the feel for it. And honestly, it's going to sound crazy, Dave. I had a dance lesson today. That's a true story. And I've been having some. Yeah, well, that's a whole other story. I'm in this competition. I'm in this charity event, whatever. But I had a dance lesson today. Thank you. she asked if I wanted to do the dirty dancing dance. By the way, that's a whole other story itself. But you know, I've been having some plantar fasciitis on with my left foot, and for 2 days of using this, the pain is definitely less than it has been. And I danced on my foot today that I didn't think was going to be possible, and I'm not feeling any ill effects from it. Like it's fine. So my question for you was going to be about a placebo effect that it could have on people, but I don't think that's possible, because I'm personally, like I said, I would feel irresponsible to come on here and talk to you about it without experiencing it myself before I do so, because, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert on anything except for dick jokes. I'm good at that. But if you're going to come on and talk to somebody, at least understand what they're talking about. And I can tell you that I think that it definitely does something.
Well, I definitely know we're getting late night when I hear Jeff breaking into the other half of the 12-pack over there.
That was Jeff ripping the door off his refrigerator.
Oh, beer.
So science would say...
I love you, buddy. Come
that
on.
That we have no proof, and it's placebo, and people are going to use this. I'm going to say I've worked with several thousand people in the last 12 months, right? Where I've seen them in one way, shape, or form consume a CBD product and gotten direct feedback from them. Now, it may not be a triple blind study, but at least as anecdotal feedback, if you threw all these pins on a board, there are deep patterns. And interestingly enough, I mean, plantar fasciitis is right on there. A lot of people... Again, I'm speaking in disclaimer because not 100%. I mean, likely it is. You didn't hear that. But a lot of people report using a CBD product regularly helps keep that plantar fasciitis under control.
I bet rubbing it on your feet would help a lot too, honestly.
Yeah, so that's
I've used it as a topical, and it really helps.
You know, you're using like an edible, so
– right.
Very often plantar fasciitis, people will consume a CBD product orally, but very often they receive much more acute and immediate response using it topically. So there's definitely a perceived difference. Jeff's wife, Amber, she's an amazing LMT. And the most disappointing massage I ever received was when I took 20 milligrams of full spectrum CBD an hour before the massage, because I just felt better to begin with, and everything was more flexible, and half the fun of massage is like finding an achy thing and like working it out. I mean, my wife will be downstairs and she'll hear me tapping out like WWF style, like, ah, she's like, what's going on? I'm like, it's fine, it's great. And it really does seem over and over. And so we're all going to ask this in our heads. It's got to be placebo. I don't know. But really, these anti-inflammatory properties – it may not be 100% of the time, but it really is the majority of the time where people are feeling this kind of relief.
So, Kay Daigle from Instagram wants to know, he sees things like CBD shampoos. What could that possibly be used for that could be helpful?
Exactly. You know what? There's no point in that product. So I'll bring it down to just to quantify this to a quick example. I love the idea of CBD in a bath bomb, which we have, by the way, in multitude of scents. I despise the idea of CBD in a bar of soap. So in a bath bomb, we know we have 15 or 20 mg in a bath bomb. You put it in your bath and you sit there for 20 minutes. I've done it myself. It's fantastic the way it works from the outside to the inside and just really relaxes you. CBD in a shampoo, I mean, how much is in it? How much is administered? I mean, does it come with a tablespoon?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like how many migs are in a tablespoon? How much contact time does it have before it's even rinsed out? So it's like a bar of soap. Like, okay, so we have 200 milligrams of CBD in a bar of soap, but as you're lathering your body, how much CBD is getting administered? How much is even actually absorbed? So my prediction, my opinion, mm-hmm. right, back to this asshole picture I painted before. Did I paint that picture? Yeah, I painted that. Yeah. There's a lot of products that are going to fall to the sideline as people realize that, you know, we want to be able to standardize our dose. You know, we want to know how much we're taking and for what reason. Is this for overall general wellness? Am I using it topically for my plantar fasciitis? Am I taking it before a workout or a walk? Am I using it afterwards for recovery? Am I using it on a shoulder to reduce inflammation post-surgery after a wound is healed? Am I using it for mood enhancement because possibly I have some, you know, seasonal, you know, affective, you know, mood disorders? My wife.
What about lube?
Dude, all right, the hoo-ha oil is a thing.
What?
Hold on. My wife made
it. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
I invite anybody to we do sell small sample sizes to try 15 milligram serving, a quarter of a milliliter of our 1800 milligram dilution in a sexual setting. There was actually a report earlier this evening, and a male couple, I can report from a traditional hetero couple between me and my wife, this is a thing. Get it in, get it on, get it on.
I just want to point out really quick, Chef. Yeah. Chef Dave just texts, "Fuck yeah, I told you fuckers."
Yeah, bring a towel.
Hey, listen, I want to be honest with you, Dave. Like, I can't. I'm 40 years old, brother. I don't want anything else more relaxed down there. Like, I don't need anything to relax. I need it all to not be relaxed.
All right, so can we go here right now? Right?
Yeah, dude. We're there.
All right, we're there. That's kind of like, you know, the de facto joke, like, as a guy, like, machismo thing, like, yeah, you know, I don't need to be relaxed.
No, that's real life.
You know, to be honest, I mean, my back feels relaxed, but everything else is pretty stiff in the morning. You know, it's more than just that. So, it's more than just relaxation. You know, it's stimulating things. It's activating them. It's blood flow. It's increasing blood flow.
Well, it's because they talk about the receptors,
good.
Right?
Of course. Yeah.
But the receptors, right? Like, there's receptors everywhere. Everywhere there's receptors all over the body. That's a proven thing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and that's one thing I really try not to speak on too much. I try to defer to the medical practitioners about that. In the beginning, I was regurgitating, you know, a lot of information that seemed rather generic about this, but as I started to compile like this anecdotal database, I'd rather speak from that, from experience.
Sure, from experience.
You know, like what we've seen. Yeah. And quick one. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh my God.
We haven't talked about cooking with
I know.
I want to get freaky.
I've got questions coming in nonstop.
Bring
right
them
now.
On. Let's go.
So our good buddy Mike Stive from Ergo Chef Knives, he wants to know. He's there. He says, so is there any kind of like a or not so much of a CBD blend like for joint pain, but have you seen any kind of results for like people who like have Lyme disease or something like that, who use CBD oil and see some results from that?
Sure. So most definitely. So, I mean, generally speaking, any good quote unquote CBD product, specifically like our full spectrum product, you know, which is like a hemp extract, it's a complete full spectrum. Used topically and orally. I use that, again, for my complicated hip back issues. To speak about Lyme's disease, as a matter of fact, one of the first topical applications just about a year ago, this time now, was up at the conference. And I was speaking with an herbologist from upstate New York. We were in Albany. And she had Lyme's and achy hands. We had to put it on her hands, and it helped her dramatically. I've got my brother-in-law, Rich, and he suffers from Lyme's. Using on his hands, I try and try and try all the time. It doesn't work for him. But a classic turmeric and black pepper tincture does when he takes it orally. So I just want to paint the picture. These can be very powerful and effective products, but they're a socket in your toolbox. You know what I mean? This doesn't replace everything else. We still need to remember diet, exercise, physical therapy, and other traditional and non-traditional methods are what bring us relief ultimately, you know?
Right.
So if you're using it topically because you have a torn rotator cuff, And I've seen it. I mean, I lube up local bartenders all the time, and that's how I got free beers. You know, we see increased range of motion when we have these anti-inflammatory properties, but it doesn't replace surgery, you know? And as a matter of fact, I want to send out a message, you know, we need to be careful also, because at times it's almost like cheating, because we have to remember when our body is sending us pain and inflammatory signals, it's trying to tell us something.
Right.
You know, to take it easy, to strengthen, to repair, or to avoid. Most good full-spectrum products used topically and orally in a combination for joint pain, that's completely on the board and with a high percentage of likelihood getting relief. That's one of the top things people come to us asking about.
Another question coming in from a gentleman who wants to remain anonymous.
My wife, is it?
No. Well, I don't know if it's a gentleman. I did say gentleman, so I eliminated 50% of the people. Something like using a CBD, he heard us talking and making jokes about the lube. Is it something that actually could be used in place of a Viagra or in place of a Cialis or something like that?
Now, all right. So we have just begun, quote unquote, anecdotal research. It doesn't exactly like put it on there and make you hard.
Right.
But there's definitely in me a perceived difference in blood flow and just even mental perception, even on the female side here. Here's the thing. Get a good full quality product. It's not a cheap plug, but we have a $10 two serving sample. It's worth throwing $10 at. I mean, for Christ's sake, you know you've spent more than $10 alone in a hotel room with a bottle of cheap wine, and you bought a movie, and it didn't work. So
the good news is nobody had to know. The good news is, Dave, is no one had to know it didn't work.
Sorry, who's ever out there. Just trying to have fun.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, you know, get a good product and give it a shot. I did have somebody this evening, right before we started this interview here, this conversation, this event, they thanked me for a tip. And again, it was a gay couple, and they gave it a whirl, and they said, thank you. They went out of their way as a professional person at, you know, 10 o'clock at night to say thank you. So there's got to be something to it.
That's great, man. That's great. So Chef Dave wants to know, he says, every living thing has receptors for THC. Is it the same thing for CBD?
We can get into the endocannabinoid system and all of these receptors.
Oh, and can you spell endocannabinoid?
I mean, I can Google it for you if they need me to. I mean, high school paper here. That is definitely not my strength. Every living thing having endocannabinoid receptors? No. Do plants have endocannabinoid receptors? I mean, they're alive. They photosynthesize and reproduce cells. Again, where I can make statements is I've seen it affect cats, dogs, and humans. Horses. You know, beyond that, again, I'm not that scientist. We could talk to Dr. Dale Deutsch over at Stony Brook or some other MDs like Dr. Tanya Adams here on Long Island, Dr. Linda Varlata. We could maybe ask Dr. Larry Smart. He does some plant breeding stuff up at Cornell, and they could reference us. So if you just notice, though, I want to defer to experts in these different areas. You know, nobody's going to have all of the answers. The correct answer would be, hey, if I don't have it for you, let's defer to this person. You know,
can we do a part two with you, or we get one of these doctors on with you? Because that would be really fun.
You know, I mean, that's the way any good doobie is enjoyed, right? You know, can I get part two? You know,
that's right. Hey, so you're seeing as we start to wrap this up, I know it's getting late. And you're going to be up in, four and a half hours?
Bro, I had the cup of coffee and the Bordeaux. I'm here for literally as long as you guys want. So.
Oh, man. You see so many people now using this in food. I have a girl who works for me when I do catering, she works in a bakery here in Connecticut that's legal. But you see so many people now using, even as far as just, you know, cannabis in food, but also using just plain CBD in food. Is it just another way to introduce it into your body, or is there different effects from cooking it as opposed to just maybe ingesting it or using an oil?
Well, let's look at the science of, like, say, cooking it, right? Because science and cooking usually kind of infers heat or some sort of preparation to alter something.
Right.
Really, cooking a CBD product in its finished form, we're not going to do anything better than a quality extraction and formulation lab. So we're not going to take apart a walkie-talkie like I did at 5 years old and got my grandpa pissed at me, take things out of it, put other things in, and make it a better walkie-talkie. You know, now, that being said, there is an opportunity through the entourage effect. So besides just cooking, to assemble potentially an effect by incorporating different terpenes and compounds that have a synergy with each other. You get what I'm saying here?
100%.
So just to, like, hey, you know, who, come on, Chef, pop quiz. Who's the guy who does the tomahawk steaks and sprinkles down the salt? You know, it does, like, all that
Salt Bay.
Yeah, Salt Bay. So, I mean, we don't need to be pulling the Salt Bay and sprinkling CBD isolate all over our meals and be like, oh, cannabis infused. I mean, what's that doing? I'd rather just take my 15 mgs of a full spectrum extract that I know does what it needs to for a wellness. So on the other end, if you have some sort of an angle, is there an interplay with the compounds you are preparing as a chef that you're quote-unquote cooking? Is that going to bring it to a new level? Just like we were talking about the hoo-ha oil, right? You know, the lube thing, where we're just beginning.
I love you call it hoo-ha just, oil. I love that.
That's yeah, I love that. Hoo-ha. That's my, hey, that's my next band. Don't steal that one. Hoo-ha! You know, I want this whole, like, viral marketing campaign where it's kind of like, Ricola. But, like, when you're on the subway train and the door's open and it goes, hoo-ha! Like, everybody gets, like, blush in the face because they know what it means. You know?
Hey, be careful. They might be a sponsor next week on the show. Just be careful.
I was just going to say, I know a guy that could maybe help you with that.
But what I'm saying, so I'm putting it out there to chefs, though. If you guys want to do this, because you're gonna, don't just look at, like, the muse of the novelty of the ingredient. Look at the novelty of the experience, and not the novelty of the experience of, like, oh, the taste and the smell, but the physical experience, that psychoactive experience. What is the entourage effect of the terpenes and the other chemicals you're introducing in the dish? You get what I'm saying?
100%.
100%. Yeah,
so that's my challenge to the chefs. Like, we don't need to just get stoned at the end and, hey, the cannabis flower was palatable. How unique of an experience can you craft? Like, how can you guys actually, like, be...
I've been really lucky, actually, to get to cook with a bunch of your hemp, and I've made some really fun dishes. And I, for people who don't partake in marijuana at all, and they've... I mean... The flavors, the feeling, the whole thing. I've gotten nothing but great, great compliments after, you know, putting together a hemp meal. It's really a lot of fun.
And on that note, too, earlier in the season, this is a call out to the chefs, you know, during the vegetative part of the season, you know, May through August, where we have the leaf product, not the flower. This is really what we can work with that's low in these psychoactive compounds. So when we're saying we're cooking with cannabis or hemp, we're basically working with the leaf. And I've worked with some folks that have simply dropped them in coconut oil for days on end, and the terpene profiles that came out of, like, passion fruit and mango out of, like, this AC/DC variety were intense. And they weren't working with flour. So, you know, remember, too, when we're talking about this, you know, we have, like, the leaf, the stem, things we can steep and saute, and tincture versus the flower, which tends to be higher in these resins and these cannabinoids. You know, we need to understand the different parts of the plant, you know. Man. It's kind of like saying I'm going to use a skirt steak and make pork sausage, and you're going to use the skirt steak as a casing, you know. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, these parts of the plant, you know, it's like completely abstract in a different species. Yeah, exactly. You know, so we have a little, we need a little bit more of an understanding here. Man. You know, how do we work with this? So I think really the opportunity for chefs is to understand There we are. There's Mr. Ed again.
Yeah, what was that?
So for a chef, again, you know, to understand, to working with the leaf, we can get more of the subtleties of these terpene profiles. And then we're more on the flower side, and we can get more of these psychoactive sides. And then the interplay, how do we incorporate that with other non-cannabis ingredients to really craft a unique experience? That's the challenge.
Well, the good news is we have good brothers like you out there doing lots of things with it to give chefs like us the opportunity to try new things and experiment with it and see what we can come up with. But more importantly, having good brothers like you out there growing mushrooms, growing great vegetables, and on top of it, you know, doing amazing work here with hemp. And I look forward to the future, man. I'd love to do part two with you, brother, and get somebody else, get a doctor on here and, you know, kind of go back and forth on. I think it'd be a lot of fun to get. There's a lot more info here to do. I think it's more than you can cover in an hour or an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, brother, I grew up at 420 Millstone Road, man. I mean, it's in my stars. I'm here for you guys. You know, I'm here for you guys.
Dude, you were awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you again for your time tonight, Dave. And honestly, brother, like, I look forward to seeing what you come up with in the future and checking out the website. Jeff, tell them where they can find some more info out about Open Minded Organics and, of course, Dave.
If you want to check him on Instagram, you can check him at Open Minded Organics. He's also on Facebook at Open Minded Organics, www.openmindedorganics. Or if you're in the Hamptons, go check him at Butter Lane at the original farm stand or in Sag Harbor at the new apothecary.
Man, we got to talk about that, too. But, Dave, you are the man, brother. We really, truly appreciate your time tonight, man. I look forward to the future. We're going to do part two for sure, 100%. And hopefully, the next time I see you, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Well, hopefully that just mean I'm dead.
Maybe you'll give me another half a cantaloupe, but just time you put some oil on it for me or something. Yeah.
But hey, Plum and Parazzi, it's a true pleasure.
Hey, you are the man, brother. We appreciate your time this evening, man, and we'll check you out on down the road.
Peace out, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Dave. Love you, buddy.
There he goes. Dave, what a great conversation, awesome. Man. I just feel like I went to school. I feel like I was in a class for a minute or something. Like, I learned a lot there.
So much information coming at me. I was like, whoa. I'm so glad we recorded this so I can listen to it a few more times. Well,
he's such a nice guy, too. And that's, for me, what means so much. Like, the guy just wants to help people. That's all he wants to do, you know?
Yeah. No, he absolutely wants to help people. But he really believes in what he's doing. You know, he 100%. Really believes in the product he's making, and you know, the thing that I think is really cool is that you know, the stuff he was talking about. You know, you're going to a small farmer and trying their CBD as opposed to getting the isolate from like a large conglomerate, and you're going to get a different experience.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I want to check out his stuff. You can buy it on the website, which is pretty cool. So, what the. Who saw this coming?
Around.
Dave, are you here?
Yo.
Fuck yeah.
Dave, it's 11:20. I think you're late again.
That's all right.
Well, I gave away your gimmick because I know you were listening because you were asking some questions of the good brother who was on here talking about stuff. Dave Falkowski from Open Minded Organics. I thought it was great to have you on too, really quick, Dave, before we end the show, because I'm sure you have a couple of thoughts and opinions on this, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely enlightening, because there's areas I didn't really know, because terpenes I would just order, and I didn't know that you could just get it from the leaf.
Well, this summer, we'll take you over to meet Dave for sure this summer.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I need a gallon of that CBD lube, the hoo-ha oil. So.
Doesn't it just make you feel dirty, Ooh-ha! Jeff, when Dave starts talking about it? You're like, ew.
I've known Dave for so long, and nothing he can say makes me ever feel dirty.
I'm just kidding. We love Dave. Dave is the man. We love him so much. But it's fun to hear this stuff, man, because Dave, I don't know if you overheard in the conversation, I was taking some gummies the past 2 days just to kind of, not the kind of shit you gave me in Mohegan 2 years ago, but... just to get the effects, because I wanted to have a little background when I talked to Dave tonight. And Jeff, you can text him really quick and tell him thanks for being on the show. We appreciate him, all that sort of stuff. I don't have his phone number.
I'm actually texting right now. He wants me to call him when we get off.
Yeah, he was awesome. I love talking to him.
It's my boy.
But you hear him talk about this stuff, and honestly, I mean, he's an amazing farmer, Dave. So, I mean, it's like... if he says it's good, I believe him. You know, the guy's got no reason to push it. I mean, I'm sure you've heard some stories too, Dave, about how this stuff can help people, right?
Oh, definitely. After my shoulder surgery, I used a topical.
The lube? The hoo-ha oil?
No, not the hoo-ha oil, but like an actual, like a liniment or a balm. I would use it on the like actual incision area because there's a lot of scar tissue there, even still.
And you felt it made a difference?
Yeah. It numbed it up. I could actually move it around a little more. I would use it before physical therapy, too, on days I knew that they were going to, like, really stretch me out.
Man, so, I mean, yeah. how do both you guys
feel? You like
getting
stretched out, don't you, Dave?
Oh, Jesus.
It was great.
How do both you guys feel about someone who maybe isn't in this world so much and doesn't know much about it but wants to try it? Like, is that something you feel good about? Is that something you feel like it's a good thing for people to try it? Or do you think they should talk to someone like Dave first and kind of, you know, take it from there?
Before they get stretched out or before they use CBD oil?
Both.
Are we talking CBD oil topical?
Stop stretching. We're not anal stretching. Why do you keep saying that? That's not what we're doing.
You could probably use CBD.
What?
You're a sick bastard. I was thinking Van Damme stretches. You're going right into the anal stretching.
Well, listen, they're one and the same to me.
You're a prevert.
Listen, my thing is this. If you're going to stretch one, you might as well stretch both. That's how I look at it. More limber, the better.
Oh, shit. Hooper, is that what you're saying?
Or just
that's
be
weird.
Limber. Just want to be limber. Not loose always, but limber. No? You disagree?
I don't know, man. I just can't imagine. I mean, how do you stretch out a butthole?
Dave, tell him. You can get the... Tell him.
I mean, very carefully. Probably.
Sizes. You work up to it. Listen, it's like being on swim team. They teach you freestyle first, and then you can backstroke, and eventually you're butterflying. That just takes time.
I got it. There's levels to this shit.
That's all it is. You just work up to
it. Yeah, I mean, you can't go from, like, 12 ounce to 3 liter. You know what I'm saying? You got to, like, have steps in between.
I appreciate the steps in between. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
It's the longest podcast in history, and the ending is just a whole bunch of nothing. I was trying to get, like, different opinions on CBD, and all of a sudden now... We're anal stretching. I don't know how we got here.
That's good.
Back to CBD. Yeah, I dig it. I like it as a topical. I've never done ingesting for too long of a time. I've tried it for about a week. But topical I've done on and off for a few years. And I would suggest that if somebody has like muscle spasms or anything of that sort of nature.
Yeah, I think it definitely... As a person who tried it for the first time, it definitely does something. I'm not sure what all the way yet, but it definitely does something. You know what I'm saying? What are you laughing at?
It does something.
Yeah.
It does something. I don't know what, but something occurred.
Well, either way, it's awesome. Well, you know, I'm going to continue to
use it. Could you be any more vague? Hold on. Could you be slightly more vague in your description?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not good at that shit. I mean, look, the last time I ate anything edible, I woke up playing a Ellen DeGeneres slot machine. I was up 28-50. Dave is cheering me on like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, and I don't know where I was.
I wish I was there for that so bad.
It was
pretty great, because, like, I was, like, there, but he wasn't really there.
No, I was not there.
Dude.
I go back to my
hotel
room.
I had a good friend tell me some crazy story. He gave a chicken edible by accident, and she tweaked out for like 17 hours.
Well, that's the interesting part about it is you know, you're seeing more and more medicinal marijuana come out, which is not the same thing as CBD, but you see more and more of it coming out now about helping people and the benefits of it. But, you know, it's not always – I mean, there's a lot more to it. I mean, there's definitely a big push – especially in the media showing the positive effects. But there is some negative stuff as well. It just isn't as publicized when you start really getting into it.
A lot of the strains that are actually pushed for medicinal use are usually higher in CBD.
Yeah.
Or they tend to be higher in CBD and lower in THC.
Yeah, but
so there's actually there's a grow app out in Colorado that just grows mainly for CBD. So it helps, like, patients with seizures.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that now.
Yeah,
a lot of that. I wanted to ask him. Up and coming business in a lot of places.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dave. I forgot to. If there's a difference in CBD from hemp and CBD from actual cannabis, if there's a difference in the two, because I don't know if there is or not.
I'm not sure. I couldn't actually speak on that one.
Say that again.
If there's a difference in CBD from hemp and
what
CBD,
did you say?
Did you say what I say?
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit, I guess. I'm sorry.
If there's a difference in CBD oil that is extracted from just hemp and CBD oil that is extracted from, marijuana.
Well, you think if you're extracting it from marijuana, it would have the THC components come over with the CBD.
All right. It's all marijuana. It's just that it's marijuana that's been the seeds have been saved and it's been tested and they're growing it for the CBD and they've bred out the THC in it. You know what I mean? So it's like a strain that didn't have psychoactive properties to it. And then they would test it and be like, oh, this one has a lot of CBD in it. Okay, we'll save these seeds and then we'll grow this again. And then, it's like after a while of doing that, that's how they get those strains. So it's not really a difference from it. I think you get, more CBD from some plants than others. I think it really, it's right. All strain based. It's similar to how, THC is taken from marijuana, but it's different. It's just grown for a different property.
Interesting.
What I thought was really cool was about the full spectrum. It's like, there's so many other cannabinoids and things that are in, hemp or marijuana that doesn't have THC in it. There's other things in there that are helping you and making you feel good, and there's a lot of other things that are beneficiary that aren't. There's not enough testing being done to it, so they're not being isolated or not being talked about. And that's what he was saying, is the full medicine, I guess you can't really call it medicine, but the full supplement is getting it from the whole plant, not just an isolate. You get more from that.
Man, it really is interesting, and I'm trying to experience it for myself because I think it definitely has some benefits, and I want to, spend a little more time on that and maybe even take this program and become a proponent for that. I think
Dave just texted me. He's still wide awake.
Well, look, let's go ahead and put a bow on this and wrap it up. Dave, you're late again.
Man? Yeah.
That's all right.
THC, man. It happens.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Jeff, thank you. I appreciate everything you do more than you know.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And we might need to have an off-air conversation about the sponsor you found. I don't know about these guys yet. We're going to talk about them. But
Sizzle Plate's great. They're giving us cash. I don't want to hear your shit.
I don't think I heard the commercial. I don't think I tuned in time.
Oh, well, you can
listen. What? play it as the outro. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's... We're trying to listen. These are small businesses that need our help, and that's what we're about.
I know,
okay?
But
we're trying to
two
help
plays. Like, this is a lot of people listening to this program. We're giving them two plays.
I mean, don't you charge pay per play?
I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to show people what we are about. I'm trying to show people what we can do. And I think, the fact that we have all these awesome chefs and awesome people listening to the podcast, I think we bring them awesome products. And it's like, I don't actually listen to any of these commercials, but I believe in the money that they're giving us.
I believe in the money they're giving us. Jesus. You're really good at selling stuff, Jeff. I want you to know that.
Listen, man.
All right, here we go.
There's some things about me that you might not know.
We'll give them one more shot, you guys. Here, lay out for a second. Let's get one more word from our friends over at Sizzle Plate and see what they've got for us, and then we'll come back in this program. Stay right there, guys. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live.
I'm excited.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step for...
It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump.
It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy? Well, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now? When we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, three blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A sizzle plate product.
Well, that's the program for tonight, gentlemen.
Yeah, who knew? The Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints.
Don't worry about all
so
that.
Much.
Don't worry about that. That's a good church. It's a good church, Dave. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying they like chicken. It's cool.
They must. Hey, big shout out to our homeboy, good brother.
They're in Nebraska. They're big in Nebraska.
That's what it is. The good brother, Dave. Dave Falkowski from Open Mind Organics will be on the program tonight, man. We really appreciate it, brother. Love talking to you. Can't wait for the summer to see you. And we can't wait to see what we do with part two. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be fun. And, of course, Big Davey B, always joining us. We appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Anytime, bro.
Shout out to our friend Grill Mama. If you see anybody out there stealing photos on them Instagrams, make sure you jump on there and DM Grill Mama. She'll handle it for you. She'll handle business. She's a beast.
Steal my photos. Chef, you can get out and steal my photos.
If you want to steal photos, check out Forking Chef on Instagram. He wants a photo stolen. Do that.
I got some pretty dope photos, too. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't want to blow my own horn and shit, but you want to get in there and take some.
There you go. Make sure you can take one of his. He'd be really happy about that. And, of course, you can follow me on Instagram at chef_plum. Follow Jeffy at ForkKingChef on Instagram. And, of course, Dave at Dave Boredom. And don't forget, one more time, give it up for our guest tonight. Jeffy, tell them where they can find out about the Open Minded Organics and Dave.
Good brother, David Falkowski at Open Minded Organics and Instagram, www.openmindedorganics.com. Or you can check him in out in the Hamptons in Sag Harbor as apothecary, or in Bridgehampton at his farm stand.
There you go. Big That's Dave. It right there. A big shout out to everybody, man. We appreciate you checking out the program tonight. It's a lot of fun. We love doing this on Thursday nights for you. For Dave, for Jeffy, I'm Chef Plum. Make sure you check me out at Connecticut Dancing with the Stars. More info coming soon. And remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.